Text for our sermon this morning, our gospel reading from Matthew 5, especially these words. Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand. It gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." So far, our text. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus continues the Sermon on the Mount with these words. And at first glance, it sounds like all law. You be the salt of the earth. You be the light of the world. Good luck, though. Didn't the Pharisees do better than you or I? They were zealous for God's law. They knew it thoroughly. Better than we perhaps do. And Jesus says, unless your righteousness exceeds theirs, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. You can try your best to be the salt and the light of the earth, but in the end, you fail. Not one dot, not one iota of the law will be relaxed to make the law easier for you. Instead, Jesus here sets up an argument in three simple steps. Salt is great, but if it's not salt, there is no use for it. In the first century, you wouldn't salt your sacrifices with dust or sand. It's not salt. So if salt isn't salt, it's absolutely worthless. Same with the light. In the first century, homes typically had one large room. You'd light one lamp so that you'd have light for the entire house. But if you light the lamp and put it under a basket or under the table, the light is worthless. It's not a light, then, as salt without salt is not salt. So also in the same way, Jesus not being Jesus isn't Jesus. That's what Jesus is getting at here. It isn't first about you, it's about him. As we read this text, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." Jesus has not come to be your pet Messiah and do what you want, nor has he come to pat the Pharisees and scribes on the back and tell them, "Well done under the law." No, that's not why he's come. He's come to fulfill the law, which you and I could not do on our own. We could never be the salt of the earth. We could never be the light of the world. But Jesus has come. He has come to fulfill everything the law and the prophets, the Old Testament, speaks about. All of those promises of the Messiah coming, Jesus has come to fulfill. Jesus has come to fulfill the Passover. As God passed over his people, striking down the Egyptian firstborn and sparing his own, Jesus has come to fulfill, to die in your place, because you are not the salt or the light of the world, but because he is the Christ. He must fulfill his mission to die in your stead and paint you with his blood. The Day of Atonement, all of the temple sacrifices, Jesus has come to fulfill. On that Day of Atonement, the priest would enter the most holy place and offer to God the blood of the sacrifice to pay for the sins of the people for that entire year. Jesus fulfills that upon the cross, offering before the Father his perfect sacrifice. He is salted there to die, to be the light of the world, that we would see and believe that Jesus would give us a righteousness better than the scribes and Pharisees. He's come to fulfill it all. He has come to fulfill circumcision, to graft sinners into the covenant, not by the shedding of our blood, but by the shedding of His blood, and through the water of baptism bring us in, adopting us as His own dear children. Jesus has come not to abolish the old, but to fulfill it and make the new. He has come to cut a new covenant at the cross, to die in the place instead for sinners, and with His blood do what we are unable to do. Jesus is the salt of the earth. He has come to sacrifice Himself. As all of the Old Testament sacrifices were salted, so He has come, salted with our sin, carrying them and bearing them all the way on to the tree. Jesus has come to be the light of the world. In the darkness, that light shines brightly. Jesus would dare not put it under a basket or under the table, but He will die there in the open for all to see. Jesus is the salt, the light. Jesus is the one who fulfills the law and the prophets. He is the one who does all of this. Therefore, do not relax these commandments, Jesus says. Know the severity of the law. For the more severe we make the law, the sweeter the gospel becomes. The more we understand that Jesus must do all for us, the more we realize that we are not the salt or the light because we are sinful through and through. Not just by our actions, but by our thoughts and the inclinations of our hearts. The more we understand the law and using that mirror of the law to reflect our sins back to us, the more we see how wonderful, how amazing, how awesome and incredible it is. The Father would send forth His Son to give us a righteousness, not our own, not that we could ever hope to attain under the law, but the righteousness of His Son Jesus, that perfect righteousness. Unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, yours does. Not yours, but His, given to you. Through baptism, that blessed exchange happened, didn't it? It did indeed at your baptism, as your name was spoken and you were washed with simple water and cleansed with the Word of God. There you were forgiven of all your sins and given the righteousness which is not yours, but is Jesus' Himself. This righteousness comes to you again and again in word and supper, that you would drown your sins in your baptismal grace and flee to the place where God is found for you, that you would be the salt of the earth, the light of the world. A disciple who is not a disciple is worthless. One who is not forgiven by Jesus is not forgiven by Jesus. So be the salt. Be His disciples. Be in His word. Know His word. Hear the voice of your good shepherd speaking to you day after day after day. Come where Jesus is found for you, for the forgiveness of your sins. God is everywhere, but He is found in specific places for you. His disciples run to those places to seek Him in baptism, word, and supper. His disciples avail themselves of these great gifts, for His disciples know that they are not good enough on their own. They need Jesus and His righteousness. His disciples also live their lives in this dark world. They are the salt of the earth, the light of the world. They cannot let the good news of the gospel be hidden. They don't shine forth just here in worship, but out there in the world, that everyone who sees them and hears them knows whose they are. because they speak differently. They live differently than this sinful world. Yes, indeed, you are the salt, the earth, salted with the sacrifice Jesus made for you. Yes, indeed, you are the light of the world, reflecting the light of the cross in your life. Yes, indeed, you shall not relax the law in the least, but know your sins and the goodness of your Savior. Yes, indeed, your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, because Jesus Christ has died for you. He forgives you all your sins and grants a sinner like you everlasting life. In his name, amen.